Have you ever had that happen to you? Hear somebody calling your name? Being called into figuring out, what shall I do? It happens to me every day. I hear the call of my daughter for guidance, for grounding, for support, for shared joy, for an answer to fear. I hear the call of my sister for support as she takes care of our aging mom back in New York. I hear your call for spiritual guidance and care and a prophetic voice. I hear the call of our community for strength and resolution and shared power as we work toward building a world of compassion and justice. I hear the call of our earth home for respect and stewardship and healing. And with every call, I have to decide, or I get to decide, what shall I do? All these calls are forms of the call of love. If we're connected by these invisible strings, how can we help but feel the tugs of the movement from our siblings? Those strings, as Alice talked about, they serve to ground us in our relationships, and they also remind us of the call to help each other when there's trouble. On this last Sunday of Advent, this time when our waiting for an arrival is drawing to a close, I'm reminded to think about the call of love, and of course, to think about how Jesus responded to that call. I don't presume to know what calls he heard, what form or forms of love tugged at his strings, but I do know what he did to answer them. In a time filled with the fear and domination of the rule of the Roman Empire, Jesus reminded people what it could look like to live lives of love. He did this simply, by preaching and by example. He spoke the language of family, invoking the name Father for the force that guides us into love. He also spoke the language of power, calling the beloved community the kingdom of God. He connected that power to those who listened to him, reminding him that they held that power, telling them and showing them that it was up to them to create that kingdom right here on earth. Jesus preached and lived a dangerous love, a subversive love. On the Sermon on the Mount, he said that the meek will inherit the earth, the merciful will receive mercy, the peacemakers will be called the children of God. And he articulated the golden rule there too, right? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. He helped people think of doing good works in a new way, that it came from inside them, telling them, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others. He hung out with sinners, with lepers, with prostitutes, people who weren't just ignored by society, but purposefully marginalized by the leaders of the day. So his challenge to us to build this kingdom of God here on earth was grounded in the call of love. The book of Matthew tells that when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees which commandment was the greatest, said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This was a radical move in an empire where commandments were much more readily understood as rules to follow, with dire consequences for breaking them. And then, as Luke tells it, when pressed to define neighbor, Jesus went even further, affirming the unity of humanity with the parable of the Good Samaritan, who cares for an injured Jew and finds him shelter after finding him in the road. Of course, the defining characteristic of this story is this deep hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans, right? We are to love God and everyone with our whole being. And as far as I can tell, as far as we can tell from what's been written about his life, this is what Jesus did. Love his friends and his enemies, helping them be their best selves, and forgiving them when inevitably they were not. The invisible strings didn't just connect us to each other in his teachings. They connected us to something greater than the sum of our parts. Building the kingdom of God here on earth was not in the best interests of the empire. That could only thrive in an atmosphere in which people did not trust each other, where they didn't have any reason to take care of each other, where they wouldn't back each other up. It could only thrive when the invisible strings were forgotten, or worse, cut, where there was division and fear serving to keep order. Jesus pushed back against that order by calling people to remember the strings, to respond to their tug, to build community that was grounded in love. And this message holds just as true today. And the way that our faith tradition articulates it is life-saving for me. As Unitarian Universalists, many of us lean toward what is called a Socinian view of Jesus, named after Faustus Socinus, that Jesus was fully human and did not exist before his birth, that his wisdom and his teachings were more important than his death and his resurrection. Although this idea is still considered a heresy in many Christian traditions, it is deeply inspirational to me. Because if Jesus was fully human, then it becomes possible for me to follow that example, for his life and his acts to inform my own values and my actions. And so today, as we wait for Jesus' birth, what I reflect on is his message of life-giving, life-saving love. Jesus preached a subversive message in a dangerous political climate that the kingdom of God was accessible to all of us, and further, that we have agency in bringing that kingdom to being right here. This message is what brings me the hope for which this season is known, because it gives me the faith that we humans can bring that love and compassion that the world so sorely needs. If we're all connected to each other, and if we can ground in that connection, then we can feel the tugs our neighbors make on our strings. We can ground in the love and the compassion that those tugs create, and we can find ways to let that love and compassion guide us. And in this time, like in that time, when fear and power over can feel overwhelming, this faith reminds us that we can share the love we have and be the love we wish to see. It can move us to take care of each other, to hold each other in our fear, to unite in our work for justice, to protest harm done to our neighbors, and everyone is our neighbor, to resist hate and oppression and division in our communities and in our leadership and in our systems. May it be so, and may we be so.